Like last night, we were able to be at Peace Free Will Baptist Church last night in a devotion. And I was so thankful for the opportunity because when I got there, I had been craving the Low Country Bowl or the Frogmore Stew with the scrimp and the sausage and the potatoes and everything that goes along with it. I love that. I didn't really know how to cook it because I know you had to put some in different order because, you know, it don't take long for your scrimp to cook, so you got to kind of put it in last. And they had about 10 pounds in there, and I didn't know how they were all going to eat off of 1 pound shrimp. I didn't make no. But anyhow, that's for them to figure out. But, you know, it was amazing how I went there, and I'd been craving it for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, rather. And when I got there last night, I didn't know what they were cooking, but it was Low Country Bowl. Frogmore Stew. I said, God is good, you know. And so we got there last night. God had blessed with a great meal, great fellowship. These guys, they had their guitars and their banjos and their mandolins, and they were just picking, and they were doing great, you know. And they were singing, and of course, I was able to speak last night. And after the service, you know, this morning we want to put an emphasis on investing. You know, this is Building Fund Sunday, and of course, what we are doing in the church, it's not the emphasis that we're raising money for God to build an immaculate facility. I think God should have the best. I believe He certainly deserves that. But what God really wants is He would rather His people be of great quality opposed to any facility because it's just going to burn to the ground. You know, that's how He'll destroy the earth. Last time He did it with rain, this time He'll do it with fire. So, but I still think it's great to dwell in the house of the Lord, and it should be nice. But we look at investments. You know, a lot of us are investors. You know, you take your money right now, especially banks are not bringing a whole lot. If you have a high-yield account or a CD or whatever, you have some type of term or you've got to invest it in real estate or just stocks or bonds. And we're always trying to take our money, not necessarily out of greed, but just to be productive and say, where can my money make the best money or the most money or where is it, you know, where does it make sense? Well, that's a good thing to do. But what you're actually doing is you're investing. You're making an investment so that you can take something that is of a worth, that it may produce more, that it may become more worth. Well, a lot of us do that. Well, last night I saw that kind of unfold before my eyes. Now, there again, let me just throw it out to the critics. I didn't just come up with this message last night. I think sometime when I use examples on Saturday night, you think that's when I sprung my message. Well, it didn't work like that, okay? But it's a great compliment to what the Lord was already doing. Well, I got here last night, and I walked out. This guy comes running across the churchyard. He said, Mac. I said, yeah, I thought he was going to give me some leftover. They had leftover shrimp last night. But it wasn't about that. It was something even better. And he kept crawling, running across there, and he said, Mac, he said, you remember me? I said, I do. He said, I was at your church about four and a half years ago. He said, you weren't preaching then. He said, but you were teaching the young adult Sunday school class. I said, I do. He said, I came in there on several occasions and even coming to the church because even then I was speaking some layman services for our pastor. And he said, I was there on many occasions when you were speaking and in your Sunday school. He said, can I tell you, I was raised in church all my life. And he said, let me tell you. He said, man, he said, I went to a Christian college. He said, I done everything I felt like the Lord would have me to have done at this point. He said, but I was just doing things I ought not have been doing. He said, I had my nose in some places I shouldn't have been. He said, you know, the thing is, he said, it is true when you're raised up in church and you're trained up in the way that a child should go. You know better. He said, so I did these evil, bad things, things I knew God wasn't proud of. He said, but, he said, when I started coming to y'all's church, he said, I gotta just tell you something tonight. I said, well, what is it? He said, the time that you spent with me when I come, he said, just to say hello, just to be there, just to be an example. He said, you are the reason that I did not go and do a lot of those things that I was already doing. I'm sitting there and I'm floored, you know.
I'm like, wow, because, you know, I haven't been preaching long enough for a lot of fruit to grow, you know. You got to start with the root, then comes some fruit, you know. But early in my ministry, I said, I don't hear many things like that. But this guy come to me and he said, but let me tell you what's happening now. He said, because of that, he said, I am now the teacher of college and career age at Peace Free Will Baptist Church. Now listen, Peace is one of our great churches. And he said, I'm also working in the children's ministry. He said, I'm also singing in the choir. He said, and I give the glory to God. He said, but I just want to tell you thank you. Let me tell you something. Me nor my tires on my truck touched the ground last night on the way home, I'll tell you. But I'm going to tell you, God will take you places you never thought you could go. But you just got to be willing to stick it out. But what had happened before my eyes last night, and God does this all the time, and it's not coincidence and it's not luck. When we use those words, we rob God of His power. But there was an investment made 4.5 years ago that now was worth more today than it was then. Awesome. And I didn't even have a clue. Well, there's a lot of that going on today in our own lives. But do you know, when I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, He made so many investments in man. Can I just share with you a couple of things, because I certainly wouldn't have time to share them all. But think about it just for a moment when He stepped out from heaven's floor. And all of God invested Himself into the flesh. Mind you, never for one moment in time was the Trinity of God ever separated in His time on earth. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, three in one, one in three, never lost the Trinity in the flesh. Jesus stepped out from heaven and invested His Godship into the same very body that you dwell in, the flesh. Woo! He invested Himself into us. Throughout His life, you know, we hear of Him going back to the temple in the age of 12, and there are a lot of silent years that we are not aware of. But His ministry that began so strongly at the age of 30. And I've got a lot of similarities with Christ, and I think about this for a minute. The Lord started His ministry at 30. So did I. The Lord died what we believe, gave His life up at the age of 33. I will be in 2 weeks. But when you think about it, when you look at me, it gives you an idea of the age that Christ gave His life up. So young. Thank you so much. Put Him in the head of the line today when we leave. Amen. But He invested in us. Can I ask you a question, and we're going to get into the Word. You will only put your money where you think it will mature. You will only put your possessions where you feel like they are safe. And you mean to tell me this morning on this day from the Word of God that He believed that His investment in man would mature and multiply and be safe? Wow. I am blown away yet again this morning. The Bible tells us of one account that I want to share with you this morning of an investment that He made. And I want you to look at the response of those whom He invested in. Luke chapter
I'm changing things up on you a little bit this morning, only because of the obedience of the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 17 and find verse 11. God really spoke to me about this passage. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Let's look at this account together this morning. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourself unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Will you pray with me, Father, this morning? We are so thankful for this opportunity to be able to be used of you in this time of worship. Lord, may you make the best of it in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning, I want to look at an investment that the Lord Jesus Christ made. Let's make a couple of observations for a moment. This passage of Scripture mentions that there are 10 men who are lepers. Well, anyone who had leprosy, the signs of that leprosy would mean that on their flesh they would have scabs and they would have sores, in large part because of the infectious disease, but it really itched them, so they would just scratch it until really a lot of time they would expose their flesh. And a good sign of someone with leprosy would be someone who underneath their skin had large white spots. In some cases in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they would even look white as snow because they had this infectious disease called leprosy. So it made these 10 men lepers. And anyone who had lepers had to be quarantined. But first they had to be diagnosed by the priest. Well, when you look in the book of Leviticus and you find in 12 and especially in 13, the priest would actually take someone with these symptoms and he would quarantine them for 7 days. And on the 7th day, he would take an assessment of this disease, determining whether or not they actually had leprosy. It's kind of similar today. We don't talk about it a whole lot, but in our hospitals and the way people are treated today, and we have a lot of nurses and those who work in the medical field in our midst, and thank God for that. Amen. But I see here where people take the swine flu. It has very similar symptoms to the common flu. So what these doctors have to do is they have to be very careful. They have to really take time to diagnose the symptoms to be able to determine whether or not it is the swine flu or the common flu. Well, the same symptoms were here with leprosy. These priests had to take these men and be very careful because there were other diseases that were similar but would not cause them to be quarantined. So the priest, by God's law, was the deciding factor. Well, what happened now is these men had leprosy. They had been diagnosed. So they were in exile. They were really being abandoned. They were being quarantined. They could not be among the people because not only was it an infectious disease, but it was a contagious disease. And it would contaminate and pollute all the people. Their space between other people, they were not allowed to come into the villages or within the town limits, if you please, they had to stay outside. And they had to keep a minimum of 300 feet from any living body. Well, 300 feet would be the same as 100 yards. Well, have you ever seen a football field? As close as they could get would be from end zone to end zone. That's as close as they could get to anyone who did not have leprosy. Isn't it amazing how misery loves company? You ever seen people who are down and out? They want to tell the world, and they want people to get down and out with them because misery likes company. Well, can I tell you that these 10 men had something in common? Because the Bible says that they cried aloud unto Jesus. One voice. One people. These people spoke. They were in need of one thing that meant more to them than life itself. And it was for Jesus to have mercy on them that they may be restored. One voice. But you have to know the history in order to appreciate the next point. Their job was to never comb their hair. Is anybody in here got leprosy? They had to wear clothes of mourning clothes, not morning and night, but where we mourn because of their misery. If anyone got in any range of them, their job and sole responsibility was to scream, "Unclean! Unclean!" So that everybody knew those are lepers. There's a leper. There's a leper. But not on this day. This day, they did not scream, "Unclean! Unclean!" But they screamed in one voice, "Jesus, Master." Which brings us to our second observation. Not only were these men lepers, but these men had a measure of faith. To call Jesus by His name in those days would declare that He was a man and He had a name. But if you called Him Master, you believed that He had great power and authority over all. They talked it. Watch now, we're going to talk and walk faith. Because now Jesus tells them, go, it says, the Bible says, once He saw them, He said, go show yourself unto the priest. Why? Because only through the priest could they have their citizenship back. But let me remind you, all indications in the Old Testament, there were no cure for leprosy. Anyone whom was cured miraculously. So if you were ever documented as a leper, for you to be changed, it was known that something happened miraculously in your life. They declared in faith that He was Master. And when He told them to go show themselves to the priest, without any hesitation, without any comment, they are walking to the priest. They demonstrated their faith by walking to the priest. They not only talked to their faith, but they walked their faith. And as they walked to the priest, the Bible says they were healed. And if you ever notice with Jesus and His healing, everything He does is immediately. I don't think there's anything that can contain His power or His authority. So when He says it, He speaks it. Boom! Just like that, it's got to happen. So that's what happens here. So these 10 men are walking away from Jesus and watch. Hey, it's gone. The leprosy, it's gone. I'm free. Maybe these guys were married at one time. Maybe they were born, I don't know. But there were 10 men here. But think about it for a moment. They were being restored, allowed to go back among society and live a normal life. Could Jesus be trying to tell us something in the Word of God this morning? In all of His investments that He has made in us in order to mature and multiply us, could it be that 1 in every 10 give thanks? All 10 were believers. It was their faith that made them whole.
Could it be that only 10% of believers, forget the world, could it be that only 10% of true believers actually bring the thanks to God? Perhaps. But I want to bring a point here. Some of you like fighting, don't you? Some of you are going to encompass the TV for, UFC? What's it called? UFC? Something like that? Some of you go watch the fighting. Some of you pay like money, like for pay-per-view or something. Like if there's a boxing match, a lot of time it lasts 30 seconds, your money's gone. Like, you know. You like versus someone versus another. Why is sports so good? Because it's competition. You know, when I used to run the 40-yard dash at football, I would tell them, I'd say, you won't let me run barefooted because I'll run barefooted better, you know? That's how us country boys did better, run better barefooted. But I said, give me a runner. I need somebody to run beside me. Whether I beat them or not, it doesn't matter, but I will run faster because I'm competing. So just, if you won't let me go barefooted, give me a runner. And I'll run faster. Because it's competition. In this case here, there are 10 men, and the Bible says, I want to bring to your attention in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. I believe that the investments that the Lord has made in man is worthy of glorifying the Father. But what happens many times, now let's look just for a minute at the Word of God. These 10 men were following instructions. Watch this very closely. If you don't get anything else, take this point home with you today. Jesus was telling the 10 men, go to the priest. He never, not one time, breathed or indicated that you should stop in the midst of your journey. Come back and thank me. So let's don't get so caught up that these men were so unthankful and a lack of gratitude. That certainly may be a point here. But these 10 men were instructed by Jesus, Master, go to the priest and show thyself. The other 9 were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Make note of that. But can I tell you something? My wife has invested a lot of time in me. I don't get many amens out of her, but I bet you I got one from the back this time. She does not have to prompt me and indicate to me when I'm supposed to tell her I love you. Just suppose that you had to go to your husband or your wife and say, you've done something great. And you walk up to him and say, hey, now would be a good time to say you love me. There's no love in that. Me and my wife's got a policy. If I got to tell you to do it, I don't want you to do it. Amen? If I got to prompt you and tell you to kiss me on the cheek, I don't want it now. Because it didn't come from your heart. It come from me telling you to do it. Well, Jesus is the same way with us. He's made all these investments in us. He came, the Godship dwelled in the flesh. He lived of life. He showed us how to be Christians. He showed us how to serve and work in the church and how to be the body of Christ and how to be pure and ready for His coming as His bride. And He's invested His whole life in us. He died for us. He said, I will give you my life for your life. There is no greater investment. And He said, I just want you to live like me.
Did I not do enough? I believe sometimes God wants. Did He not do enough to show us how to become Christians and Christ-like? Did He not take the right techniques or the right methods? Or yes, He did. But what is happening in our churches and in our society is we generalize Jesus and we don't glorify Jesus. It is a smorgasbord. It's a low country ball. There are some good qualities in there, but it does not create substance. It's loosey-goosey, if you please. How many times do people stand up and in a song, they're so focused on the song, or they're so focused on the words that they are maybe worshiping the name of Jesus and not the one who bears it? His name is great because He bears it. Yes, His name is above all names. Yes, the demons tremble at the sound of His name, but they tremble because of the one who bears it. And I believe many times we worship the name and not the one who bears it. I just want to see Jesus when I come to church. I just want to worship Him, not a song, not a sermon, but I want to see Jesus. I believe if we could take the time and say, I'm not going to generalize Jesus, but I'm going to get specific with Him. I'm not focused on anything else, but I want to focus on Him because He invested so much in me. For God's sake, He showed us how to live. We generalize our Bible study, then we never get no substance. It's just a smorgasbord, and you're still right back to the A, B, C, D, E, none of the above multiple choice. God has called us to glorify Him and not generalize Him. We get so caught up in the concept of worship that we never worship. If we truly come in here, you know, I've told you this before, but some of you never heard it, so here we go. I've preached in a handful of funerals. I would rather preach a funeral than preach a message. Why? Because everybody there seems to be there for the same reason. Somebody died. Somebody died. But church, hold on to your pew for a moment. What if we could come to church because one died, but He lives again? There'd be a little shout of glory. But no, because we generalize God and we don't glorify God. It's a concept instead of a commitment. But I preach with the authority that has been invested in me and with the passion that I hope has been passed down from a rich heritage from the preacher of preachers. Because I want nothing more than when I come to God's house, I want to see Jesus. I don't want to get caught up in some theme or some concept, but I want to glorify with a loud voice. I want to worship God. But He didn't stop with just glorifying God instead of generalizing. These nine men, they generalized Jesus. Let me tell you what they did. They got to the priest, and the priest was there. He said, "You were a leper, but you're healed." How? Jesus healed me. Watch this. Jesus healed me. Woo! You know, they're excited, you know. And Jesus healed me. Give me my citizenship. I'm going home to see Mama. They get back into society. They have full restoration because of what Christ has invested in them. He took His power and He gave it to them. And now they're among the citizens and they've been watching them a football field a long time. But not today, because I get to go run and play. I get to eat in town. I don't have to eat the slop. And they're just excited. And they're witnessing and they're telling people about Jesus. And let me tell you what He done for me. But there's a difference we need to make note of. You will never become an effective witness as these nine men may or could have been until you learn first how to worship Him. This one man came. Listen, he was not told to come back and give thanks, but it was in his heart to do it. Nobody had to tell him. Nobody had to prompt him. It was in his heart, and it never got past the minds of those nine men. 18 inches away from becoming true worship. This close, and they missed it. And can I tell you how many times Jesus has been in our midst and we have missed Him? When you come to this church, and I speak for this church and this church alone, this is the church I will have to answer for. This is the church I will have to stand for Almighty God and said, as my vocal point, why did you or did not you? And what saved you? When you come to this church, you come with one objective. I will not generalize Jesus. I come to glorify Jesus. And you tell me why. We have such a good time sometime riding down the road in our cars. We hear a song come on the radio and woo-hoo! Those people riding down the road, they think you crazy. You ain't supposed to lift your hand when you're driving, you know what I mean? Because you might get in a wreck. But they're glorifying God. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I would have been such a good preacher if I could have preached like right time it happened in my living room. You know? But we come in and it's just generalized. Could it be that the nine men talked about Jesus? And surely they did, because they had to give an account to the priest when they got there. Instead of thanking Him personally. Isn't that what happened? This man comes back. He finds Jesus. And he glorifies Him with a loud voice. The next verse says that he falls on his face at His feet. And he thanks Jesus. There were nine talking about Him over yonder, but there was one in His presence thanking Him. That's good stuff. And you know what? Hey, I can see it. I can feel it. Hey, there's so many people who are over yonder talking about Him. But they don't take time to get in His presence and thank Him. I've stood in this pulpit before because I spent a week of doing what people wanted me to do instead of doing what I needed to do. And I talked about the Lord, but during the week I didn't take the time to thank Him. And a preacher who mounts the pulpit should never preach the Word of God unless he's got in His presence sometime before that occasion and glorified Him and thanked Him. There'll be no power in His preaching. There'll be no passion in His preaching. Why aren't our people being trained in our teaching? Because most of the time, if it weren't for Saturday night, we would not have a Sunday morning lesson. Hey, didn't take time to get in His presence. Why is that so important? I got some good stuff I want to share with you.
Let me read the 100th Psalm to you. Don't you fall asleep on me yet. Ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, the 100th Psalm says. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence. Whose presence? With singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth through all generations, even ours. Generalizing, glorifying. Talking about Him or thanking Him. Living in a concept or fully committed. Thank you. We just got another hour worth right there. Amen. You ain't got to pay me no overtime. I work straight. Watch this now. In the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 25 through 34, there's a story that will drive this point home, I pray. Jesus is being thronged and pressed, the two words are used, which means He is shoulder to shoulder, front to back among many people. Many people are bumping into Him and touching Him. But in the crowd that day stands a woman who had a 12-year blood disease. The Bible indicates she had spent much time and much money with the doctors and approaches in order to get her disease healed. But on that day, she saw hope. She saw an answer to prayer. And she brushed the hem of His garment. She didn't even bump into Him like a bunch of the people were. She brushed the hem of His garment. And just like that, she was healed. And Jesus asked the question, who touched me? The disciples answer Him back. Well, among these people, there are so many. You ask the question because they saw with their own eyes. Many people just bumping because there was a press. You can't tell me there's not one soul who sits under the sound of my voice that does not have a need in your life that needs to be met. Nobody in here is perfect, and we all need Jesus whether we admit it or not. There was no difference on that day. All of these people had needs. All of these people needed a change in their life in some area, in some capacity. But they did not receive it that day because she was the only one who really touched Him. It was the manner in which she came. And I am telling you, my dear friend, we bump into Jesus. And listen, God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. And we're within arm's reach of God Almighty all the time in the investments that He still today is putting forth into us and into our lives. And we miss Him. He told that woman. This woman was down, and He said, because I felt a virtue. Hey, a virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom
invested in that flesh but never lost the Godship, spoke these words, "I felt a virtue leave me." Oh, that's good. That is great. Oh, if I might be able to be close enough to the Lord that I could touch Him with the right intentions, that a virtue may leave Him even today. Immediately she was healed. The passage concludes in Mark 5 and verse 34, "Go thee, your faith has made thee whole." Does that sound familiar? That's what Luke 17 tells us today, isn't it? Investments that have been made in us from generation to generation. Our God is omniscient. It means He knows everything. Let me give you a point that may pull this together in your hearts and minds today. There is absolutely nothing wrong with witnessing to people. I think we need to do more of it. But you will not become an effective witness unless you first know how to worship. You will not have the power and the authority and the zeal that only God Himself can give you. You only receive that in His presence, not over yonder. Consider this. Our God knows what your prayer is, but He still requires thee to ask Him. Wait a minute now. Now, wait a minute, Brother Mike. The Bible also declares that we should praise God among the heathen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. But you need to learn how to do that after you know how to get in the presence of God and glorify and thank Him personally. Into His gates, into His courts, into His presence, because He is a jealous God and has every right to be. So if He requires that we take time and pray to the only true and living, all-knowing God, why does He ask you to pray when He can already read your mind? He knows what you need. But He says you still take time and pray. Why? Because He still delights when we come into His presence with full dependency upon Him. And if He will encourage you to bring your problems to Him, then it's an absolute no-brainer. He definitely wants you to bring your thanks to Him. That'll preach. That's a good point. Make it a part of your life. Make it a part of who you are. How many times do we just praise God instead of asking Him? I ask God for much more than I ever praise Him. But He invested everything in me. If He never done another thing for this old boy, He saved my soul from hell, buddy. One day my feet will trod where angels trod. Woo! One day I'll never hurt. One day I will never have another bill. Well, I'm glad to know the building fund's going to be good today because only like two or three people's got bills. The rest of you can give it all. Church, think just for a minute of what He's done for you. We don't give a whole lot of thought to Him coming into the flesh and investing His life and instruction and the cross and His blood that He shed for us. And you know what's the truth? You know what's sad, but what's the truth?
You may be here today and you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never asked Him to become a part of your life. You're just here today by invitation. But do you know that He still invested that life and that blood in you even though you have not accepted it? Because He did it for the world and not just by choice. He is not a God who has a respect of person. He has no respect of person. Everyone He loves. I'm going to close with this illustration. We are charged as the body of Christ to edify the body. You've heard me talk about that before. I want to use that in just an illustration. If I were to take Brother Mike Jones and I were to put him here today in this chair right here before me, and I were to place you around him, and I'm just using him as an illustration, as an example, and all around him you said, I'm thankful for Brother Mike. 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 What you've done is you have totally and sincerely uplifted his reputation. You have glorified and thanked God for his name. But you have done absolutely nothing for him personally. For example, let's go back to last night. The young man who is now teaching college and career, singing in the choir. All these things that he's doing for God in that church. He came to me last night and personally told me. Had he never told me personally in my presence, it would have never had the impact that it has today. Husbands, I want you to do this today. Do an experiment. Ready? Jeff, y'all do this. Sean, you do this. Furman? Sean, you do this. Alan, y'all. Pete, y'all try. Robert, y'all try this. I want you to go around the table today when we're eating. Your wives are investing a lot in you. Amen? Woo! I'm going to give you one more shot for redemption. Your wives have invested a lot in you. You might get off the hook. Go around today and tell everybody else how beautiful your wife is. Watch this now. You know I'm working on my birthday in 2 weeks. I want you to go around the church, around the tables as we eat today and say, my wife's beautiful. She completes me. She had me from hello, Brother Jim. And all these lines that you've copied. And then, watch my phraseology here now, husbands, not boyfriends. Husbands. And then when you get home tonight, I want you, or one night during the week, I want you to light candles. And see just how far you get. Now watch this. It's not going to do you any good because you told everyone around her and you didn't tell the one that mattered the most. He is no exception. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He is three persons in one, but He still requires that we come into His presence and glorify Him with a loud voice and fall at His feet and thank Him. And watch how your life changes. Because watch this, in return, He has invested everything into you. And what you have begun and have begun to do is you begin now to invest those things that He's put in you, and you're returning thanks. And I will promise you, witness, but learn how to worship God. And you do that by coming into His presence. And not just assuming that He hears me, He knows, He's happy in me. He is. But you will have more. You will be a zealous people because you've dwelt in the presence of God. And not just talked, you think. Not just generalized, but you glorify. And when you brag on God Almighty, He blesses. And we are a people who are malnourished, starving, because we don't dwell in the presence of God. We expect for Him to always come to us, when indeed it should be us seeking Him and entering into His gates, into His courts, into His presence. O people of God, hear me now. Two thieves upon the cross, both of them were in His presence. One took advantage of it, the other one did not. One said, "Remember me today." Today, you will be in paradise with me. That's good, isn't it? I think we ought to get excited about that one there. The other one said, "If you be the Son of God, then get that." Both were in His presence. One took advantage, and the other one become at a disadvantage. People of God, we are in the presence of God this morning. It only took two or three, and I see a lot of reason for Him to be here. And what will we do with this opportunity? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to glorify. And I'm going to thank. And I could stay here for the rest of the day and only yet to begin giving Him what He so much deserves. He alone is worthy. He alone. Will you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning. If God's already spoken your heart, don't wait. Come glorify and thank the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He has invested so much in us. Will we return it, or will we just generalize it? Will we just